is old, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
September 18th already. Man, I hate to be redundant, but how can that possibly be? 18th of September. Man, I was reading an article online today, and I've made this proposition before. The time really does get faster the older you get. It really, really does. And I'm not going to take the time to bring the article out there because it's something that was really kind of even beyond me with data and memory and synapses, something Mark Trump would probably but they have scientific proof now that really time does go faster the older you get. And those things that we just have an innate feeling about really, really is true. You don't speed up time. I'm not going to get into the quantum, all that stuff. But time is flying, isn't it? Man, oh, man, oh, man. And, I got a lot of stuff. Yesterday, I don't know what you guys think. From my standpoint, yesterday was a best of. And Gary Pierce texted me, our buddy Gary texted me. He says, Coach, I like it when you go deep. And we did go deep yesterday talking about fatherhood and manhood. I'm going to dive into that a little bit deeper today with maybe some things that you hadn't really, really thought about. And to think about, again, the footprint, the imprint of a father in somebody's life is beyond. I'm going to make some, well, just bear with me a little bit and we'll get into it. wait a minute. I'm sorry. I almost forgot. Got to have our daily word here from Finders Keepers, Finders of Truth, Keepers of Faith by Robert Klaus. I would have Robert. Mark Trump says, please send me that thing. Time gets faster. All right, man, I'll try to figure it out because it is quantum physics. You know, hey, Robert, this would be a lot better. You get ready to read it. You get ready to read your daily word to us here if you can. Are you in here this morning, bud? They always start calling on people, and I don't even check. I just assumed they're in there. Anybody see Robert? All right. I'll read it. September 18th. But one thing for sure, the Bible should be the main book we're spending our time in and the one we should be intent on living out. That's the truth, man. We love to read those devotions in the morning, right? Our daily bread and all those kind of things. And really, it's the opinion of man. Are you on your own diving into the Word? That's the point Robert's making. Let me get it back to working so I can read better than I did yesterday. Here's Robert Klaus's from his book. Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. And that's something. God always leads us in triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of knowledge of him in every place of 2 Corinthians. Paul identifies us earlier in the same epistle. He addresses them knowing that as you are sharers of our suffering, so also you are sharers of our comfort. And in your faith, you are standing firm. We see the same triumphant theme expressed in Romans. But in all these things, we're more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. A positive confession made by those who are being put to death all day long. Think about that. Paul and his guys were being killed all day long, and yet they had the positive confession that all day long for Jesus' sake and were considered as sheep unto the slaughter. They took their persecution gleefully, joyfully, as part of a bigger thing. After all, Jesus told his disciples that they were sent out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Let's never forget that, folks. We're not the majority. We're sheep in the midst of wolves. And the Bible goes on to say, this isn't in Robert's commentary, beware of men. With Christ, Christ freely gives us all things, including the Holy Spirit of truth, so that we might know the things which are freely given to us by God. Believers are always also taught to abide in Jesus, who is truth, in order to experience real freedom. Finally, notice again the promise as well as the condition. Things which eye hath not seen or ear not heard and which have not entered into the heart of man, all that God has in prepared for those who love him. That is unbelievable if you think about that, isn't it? we would focus on those things. For after all, we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. That's Romans. But for those who are flesh controlled and self-seeking rather than spirit-led and kingdom-seeking, all things will fall apart. That's right. All things will work together for the believer for good. If you're not a believer, all things are going to fall apart. Triumphant living should be normative for Christians who properly understand the position of being raised up and seated with Jesus in the heavenlies. For all who being led by the Spirit of God are sons of God, and as such possess divine authority to tread upon scorpions and serpents and over all the power of the enemy. By the way, Robert has the scriptural reference to everything he's saying here. Okay, so if you're doing a devotion with Robert's book, you can flip through the Bible. You're going to be going through the Bible as you're reading this thing. The God of peace is crushing Satan under the feet of Christians whose feet are shod with the gospel of peace rather than man's gospel of prosperity. Amen, Robert. Those who proclaim the full gospel and demonstration in the spirit and of power, even in the power of signs and wonders, are following the example of early Christian ministers of the gospel. And like them, we should see much joy in the city and demons fleeing from the scene everywhere we go. I added everywhere we go. Greater is the Holy Spirit who empowers the children of God. Do you believe that, folks? Do we believe that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world? Are Christians really, really cognizant that the greater power is inside us, not the world? Satan is not stronger than Christ. The devil's team is not stronger than the church. Sorry. Greater is the Holy Spirit who empowers the children of God than the devil and ruler of this world who energizes his sons of disobedience. The devil is energizing his sons of disobedience. Since the same Jesus who came to destroy the works of the devil and to take away sin is living in believers, demons will be tormented and flee when they are confronted by him, living in them. In battling the rulers and authorities of this world of darkness, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us and arms us because he was overwhelmingly disarmed and overcame the devil who hates us. Robert, Robert Klaus. You can get it on Amazon. Amen. Amen. I got two things I got to do here. I got some stuff I want to dig into. I really want to dive into. I'm going to get into it here in a second. Had the honor yesterday. I'm not talking out of school. Got a call about 10:20. Doug Hagman said, "Coach, I'm passing through Columbus from Branson on my way home. How'd you like to grab a cup of coffee?" So jumped up real quick and ran and met Doug. We had more than a cup of coffee. We had a couple hours, eyeball to eyeball, heart to heart. And it was a great meeting. And I came away from the meeting with Doug, and I asked Doug, and I'm not trying to be critical. I'm not trying to be critical at all. I asked him about Branson, where Steve Quayle had 2,800 people in attendance, 2,800. And he said it was magnificent, and the information was so good, so good. And I asked a very simple question. I said, "Doug, is anybody calling anybody to do anything with the information?" And just kind of shook his head and said, "No. No, coach, nobody's calling anybody to do anything but you. Nobody else is calling anybody to do anything." And Doug looked me deep in the eyes in a heartfelt question. He said to me, "Coach, what are we going to do? What are we going to do?" Doug's all in, man. You know, everybody talks about those who've paid a price and those who have skin in the game and all that. Doug lost his son. He lost his son, his 36-year-old son. You can say whatever you want to, but it's certainly part of the battle that he's engaged in, the battle he's fighting for. It cost him his son. What else do you have? What else matters? And I'm asking this. How many of us are losing our sons and don't even know it? Oh, they're alive, but they're walking dead, man. They're hollow men. They're shallow men. They're worldly men. How do we lose our sons? Doug can at least acknowledge his son isn't here in this world and in this earth anymore. But how many of you watching me right now today, you've lost your kids. You've lost them. Are we going to get him back? What are we going to do? But Doug Hagman said to me, what are we going to do? You know, truth is, we're too cowardly to do anything. Well, we just read from Robert Klaus there. We don't believe we serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We believe that we've been sent here to sit here at this time, sorry, to be sucked out of here before all hell breaks loose. Because we don't think that there's anything that we can do about it, that the greater one who lives inside of us, he lives inside of us. Yeah, we're not supposed to do anything with the forces of darkness. We're not supposed to do anything to overcome evil with good. See, but overcoming evil with good doesn't mean accepting evil. See, that's not good. The church tells us to welcome in those who are sinners. That is good. That's what the church tells us. But that's not right. You overcome evil by doing, speaking, and teaching good. Homosex isn't good. Transgenderism isn't good. You overcome evil by saying that isn't good. And our churches are full of people. Anyway, I feel you, Doug. I feel you. God bless Doug Hagman, man. God bless him. It's true. I know, Robert. It's true. It is so true. I don't even know. What are our churches doing? What are they doing? As homosex, transgenderism, gender dysphoria, the idea of a man and a woman, 20 different genders I saw. What's the church doing? Oh, I know. They're overcoming evil by being nice to it. They're being good to it. They're being nice to evil. That's how Jesus loves you, brother. And in the meantime, they're trying to teach your child in kindergarten how to have butt sex. Somebody say amen. You don't have to. You guys come here because you know I'm going to tell you the truth. You wake up and your kid's 19 years old and you wonder, What the hell happened to him? Oh, there you're mad because I used that word. See, it doesn't offend you that your church is embracing and walking in homosexuality. But boy, if the coach says hell, well, I can't listen to that anymore. Somebody say amen. Let me just pause and catch my breath.
Amen. Give,
so I know I'm not alone here today.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's right. Thanks. Amen.
Absolutely.
Amen.
They're too afraid of losing their
amen.
What they got.
No, they're
sissy men. They just take it with them when they go.
They're sissy men. They're just exactly what we talked about yesterday. Soft pastors raising soft boys who become the next generation of pastors. There's a good place to say amen. There's another good place to say amen. And so we got generations coming into the pulpit who are effeminate, don't have a strong bone in their back, and they now are the next generation of leaders. And what's happening? They're welcoming into the church, the love of the church, welcoming them in every form of deviancy right into the... You don't have to say amen because I'm hammering it today. I hear somebody.
They're not welcoming them into the church. They're welcoming them in to Satan's satanic social clubs. We've got to stop giving them the appearance of being the church. They're not the church.
They're not the church, Larry, but to the world, they are the church. And so I have to speak a language that the church is going to understand. They are not the church. They're not the church. Because if they were the church, the ecclesia, the called out ones, this crap wouldn't be going on, right? Huh?
Right.
So I said to Doug Hagman, I asked, you know, I'm not telling anything out of school. I said, Doug, where are all your other buddies? Where are all these other guys, all these talk show guys, all these big talkers? I'm never on their shows. How come I'm never on their show? How come they don't open up a platform for me to come up and try to raise up the Salt and Light Brigade and put men on the front lines everywhere? Where are those guys? He just shakes his head. Where are they? But say again,
tail between their bonds.
Listen, I'm going to tell you, I'm not trying to make any enemies, but I don't care if I do. I can't get some of you to organize the Salt and Light Brigade right where you live. I can't get you to do it. You won't do it. So we're trying to expand, and I said to Doug, because Doug says, Coach, what's going to happen? I said, you know, Doug, here's what's going to happen. When all hell breaks loose, I'm going to have a group of people, at least a group of people who are somewhat prepared and organized. I'm not a lot of them, not as many as I should. Because why? Well, it's the same thing. See, I'm just giving you my heart, okay? The talk, the conservative talk media is no different than the religious world. They won't, I'm not sucking on my thumb. Okay, I'm not. I'm just telling you the truth. They won't have me on because they aren't doing anything but talking. And if they have me on about what we ought to be doing, they feel convicted because they're not doing anything but flapping their gums. Yap, 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 yap. It makes me want to barf. How are we supposed to raise up followers? How are we supposed? I said to my wife, help us, Lord. I'm going to quit talking about me. You're with me, though, right? Y'all with me. Hey, Lexi, are you here? Lexi. I know you're out there, Lexi.
I'm here. Can you hear me, Coach?
We just lost audio from Coach.
Uh-oh. We lost, I think, when we first came in, too. So I think something is trying to attack this hangout.
Coach, you got muted.
A lot of times I get shut right off. Just like he just did, I think.
Coach,
but I understand that we need to get our kids out of these war zones they call schools and put them in.
Coach, you got muted. Yes.
That was a really good rant, what we saw of it. I'd love to hear it. Still no sound.
Who muted me?
Now you're good.
I ain't got time to be watching that thing. Come on in here, Lexi. Hey, folks, Lexi needs your support. You guys all know who Lexi Hall is. She's gone full-time as an intern for Created Equal. Come on in, Lex.
All right, hey, Coach, can you hear me?
We do, dear.
All right. Yeah, so I'm going to be working with Created Equal for an 8-month internship starting in October, starting next month. Most people, I'm sure, know what Created Equal is, but if you don't, it's a anti-abortion group based out of Columbus, Ohio. We go all throughout the country, sharing the truth about abortion, exposing it with abortion victim images, and just trying to engage in conversation with people to change their minds about abortion, see the culture change, so people don't think murdering babies is okay, is really our goal. And so, yeah, we share the gospel with people, share the truth about what's actually happening, and we get to see.
Lexi, you're going full time, Lexi. In order for you to go full time, you have to raise some support. Lexi Hall is a missionary to preborn babies. That's what she is. She's not in Haiti. She's not in Guatemala. She's not in Hawaii doing some ministry. She's going to be in Columbus, Ohio, and she needs to raise some support. And here's what I would call out to all of you out here right now. I would ask for 100 of you to give $20 a month. Just commit $20 a month to Lexi over the next. It's going to be 8 months, Lexi. Is that what you said?
Yes, sir.
Eight months to commit $100 to 20. I'm sorry, $20 a month. That's all of us. We can all do that. Put $20 a month. That will go Lexi's way. That'll help pay and provide her expenses and housing, all that stuff that goes on there. And when do you begin this? Hang on, we're on a website right now. You go to createdequal.org. Createdequal.org is on the screen right now. There's a place you can go there and donate. Now, hey, Lexi, if they donate to you, do they have to say it's for you? How do they do that, dear?
Yes, sir. So you just go to my picture on the donate page for the team.
Oh, you're cute.
And then, oh, don't press my picture. Press, it says like support Lexi, and then it will take you to the link of it.
There. And that money will all be recorded and go to you. Folks, couldn't 100 of us give this young lady $20? We gripe and moan about the young kids. We're losing our young kids, yada, yada, yada. And here's a young girl that stepped out 2 years ago, and she went and did a summer internship, and her heart's on fire for the kids, for the baby. And this while some people go to college and waste their lives, Lexi is going to do an internship with Created Equal. And I would just ask as many of you out there who could, would give $20 or $25, whatever. The base says 25, but you can give other. You can give 10 and commit to do it. You're going to be doing it 8 months. Is that what you said, Lexi?
Yes.
8 months? Yes. 8 months. $160 over the next 8 months. $160. We'll keep Lexi going. So I ask all of you to do that. Are you excited to go, Lexi?
I'm so excited. I've never been more excited to do anything in my life. I'm so happy. So, yeah.
Start here in a couple of weeks, right?
I'm sorry. Yeah. I couldn't hear you.
A couple weeks you start?
Yeah.
Yeah. I know we're having technical issues here today. Well, we love you, Lexi. We're going to support you. Anybody want to say something? Go ahead.
Lexi, this is Joseph. You can come down to Augusta, Georgia, where we do it 5 days a week.
All right. Yeah, we will be going to Georgia. So in November, I think.
Yeah, Augusta, Georgia.
Yep. So come on, folks. $20. That's nothing. Let's quit smoking cigarettes. Get rid of your cable TV and support Lexi. $20 a month. Cool. Bless you, Lexi.
Thank you so much, Coach.
All right, dear. Thanks for being there. Larry, how are things coming on your end, Larry?
This morning.
I feel like a Jerry Lewis telethon here. Go ahead.
Just before the huddle started this morning, I paid off the cash loan off of one of the credit cards, the one that had the highest interest. We got them enough with the 14 donations on Monday, and then one donation came in yesterday. So we paid that credit card cash loan off.
Thanks, folks. Thanks for being in the church and stepping forward and helping Larry out. And I know some of you are sending checks in the mail. Some of you have donated online. And like I said, I feel like a Jerry Lewis telethon sometimes, but it's just the reality of it. We got some great people out there doing. I'm going to say this again. Some of you are not giving at all. You used to give when you go to church. Now you don't go to church. You don't give at all. You should be giving money someplace, folks. You should be living a life of giving. However that is. And hey, so Coach, those who are laying out there and lurking out there, you need to be supporting ministry. That's plural. You heard me say that, ministries. Those who are at the front lines doing the work, you need to support them. If you've dropped out of church, you're not giving any money. You need to start finding someplace to put some money. Go ahead, Larry.
Hey, Coach, I'm going to be doing another update video probably today. But I paid that money that I had to do on the credit cards, I gave that cashier's check to the lawyer for the HOA a week ago on the 11th of September. Yesterday when I went to the bank, I checked and they haven't cashed it yet. Now they do have a track record in my neighborhood. There's one homeowner who got coerced into doing the same thing they're trying to force me to do. And they've been paying their HOA fees under duress. They write on the back of each check under duress each time they pay in 3 month hunks. Now, they sent a 3 month hunk in earlier this year, and they sent it in, so they had a track record of where the check was. And it was lucky they did, because the HOA and the lawyer withheld the check until they were 3 months late. Then they reinitiated the
get after him, Larry. Get after Bill and pull that fast one on you, man. Get after him.
Hey, Coach, can you put that? Can you have somebody put that in the chat? How to send Lexi that money, what link, and all that stuff, please?
CreatedEqual.org, and it says donate on it. Created Equal. We're all created equal. CreatedEqual.org, and then you just go to donate, and then you look for Lexi Hall. You look for her pretty little face and click on that, and you can make that donation. And I would just suggest that you make it ongoing. I mean, I hate to do that, but that makes it easier.
I'm sorry, Coach. Matthew 6:21, where a man's treasure is, that's where his heart is. You'll see where a man's heart, his energies are, is what does he invest in?
Amen. Let's invest in her. Invest in her. Hey, I want to try to connect some dots here for you today. Okay. Yesterday we did the one on fatherhood and manhood, and there's nothing that's been more under attack in America than manhood. I'm going to throw you a quick one, Connor. Go to Webster's Dictionary. Webster's Dictionary. You know we do that one, right? And pull up the word feminine. F-E-M-I-N-I-N-E, feminine. That's it. There it is. What's feminine? What's feminine, folks? It's an adjective, Latin feminus, from femina, woman. The first syllable may be and probably is from womb or whim, but the use of F for W, the B not being radical. The last part of the word is probably from man, meaning womb man. A feminine woman is a womb man. It's a man with a womb, okay? Pertaining to a woman or to women or to females as the female sex. Feminine means soft, tender, delicate. Should put in there pastor. Sorry, Dale. Sorry, Dale. Three, effeminate, destitute of manly qualities. In grammar, denoting the gender of words which signify females or the termination of such words. Words are said to have feminine gender when they denote females or they have terminations proper to express females in any given language. Thus, in Latin, dominus, a lord, is masculine, but domina is mistress, a female. Milton uses feminine as a noun for female. So a female is soft, delicate, and tender. What is masculine, Connor? Masculine. M-A-S-C. U. There it is. Masculine, boys and girls, in case you didn't know. Having the qualities of a man. Strong. Robust. As a masculine body. Two, resembling the man. Coarse, opposed to delicate or soft, opposed to it, the opposite of it, bold, brave, as a masculine spirit of courage. In grammar, excuse me, the masculine gender of words is that which expresses a male or something analogous to it, or to it is, or it is the gender appropriated to males, though not always expressing the male sex. So boys and girls, a man is supposed to be coarse, bold, and brave. And a woman is supposed to be soft, tender. Go back. What are women, Connor? Soft, tender, delicate. Anybody say amen? Huh? Anybody tell me, when is the last? Hey, Connor, go to masculine again. Go
amen.
To masculine. When's the last time you had a guy in the pulpit that they called coarse? Bold. Brave. Hey, that's why I need you to go to 98.9 The Answer and nominate me as Cultural Warrior of the Year. Because I'm coarse. I'm coarse. I'm bold. Brave. That's what we are. That's what we're raising up here. Men. Men. We're raising up men. Men. Who act like men, not men who've been trained and sissified and taught to act like women. That's what we are raising up here. What we're raising up here. Excuse me. Connor's trying. It's okay, Connor. You don't have to get it. Hey, Connor, click on Baptist Ordain a Tranny. Right here in Ohio. This came up. I'm going somewhere again today. Stay with me. You serve Flip Benham taught me this. You serve the God you see. The images you have of God, that's the God you'll see. If your image of God is that sissified man with tight jeans in the pulpit, that's what you think God, if that's what you think God is, that's what you're going to serve. If you think he's a rip-roaring, bold savior, that's who you're going to serve, right? So here we are. Baptist Church here in Oberlin, Ohio, which, by the way, is hell. Oberlin is hell here in Ohio. A Baptist church. I just want to take you down. I'm not going to read this whole thing. Scroll down through it, Connor. In Oberlin, Ohio, here she comes. This is their new pastor. Because this is an open, affirming, you know the story, right? Keep going all the way down, Connor. Keep on going. I'll tell you when. Go on down. There she is. Hey, boys and girls, that is a man. That is a man. Now, they hired him, because he's bright, compassionate, faith-filled, and spirit-led with a loving presence. Love, 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 love. See, a feminine. They hired a feminine man. They glory in the fact they hired a feminine man. At the end of our time together on Sunday, we formed a circle and said a departing prayer. And I think we all felt a sense of calling to our church. There she is, Erica Sanders. There's Erica. Now go down to the very last paragraph, folks. Very last paragraph. Are you ready? No. Go up, Colin. Here it is. With God's help, together we can follow the example of Christ and create a beloved community marked by abiding peace, expansive love, and radical justice in Oberlin and beyond. There can be no peace where there is no peace. People cry peace, peace, when there is no peace. We are at war with this effeminate homosexual spirit. We're at war with it. We can't declare peace with it. Scroll up just a little bit, Connor, because I just got to show you this. Oh, my goodness. Now go on down. I'm sorry. Go on down. Yeah, there it is. Okay, you ready? Saunders academic work. Are you ready? A church hires somebody who does this in their academic work. Are you ready? Her academic work includes titles such as Transgender Justice, Subverting Gender. These are papers she's written. He's written, pardon me. Queering Power, Eunuchs in Early Christianity, and Reimagining Sexual Ethics in 1 Corinthians. Oh, Lord, send us a man like that to lead our flock. Folks, this is what we're dealing with.
Doctrines of devils, Coach. Doctrines of devils.
It's unbelievable, huh? It's unbelievable. But yet there's good news. There's good news, because go to the next one. Larry Johnson, who's a former NFL player. Larry Johnson, ex-NFL star Larry Johnson, comes out this week, and what does he say? August 30th. He says he's coming out against the NFL, who's becoming sissified. Ex-NFL star Larry Johnson sounds off on supposed effeminate agenda in the two sports leagues. Feminine agenda. Anybody disagree with that? You can't even tackle anybody anymore. You tackle him anymore, it's a penalty. Oh, you led with your helmet. Oh, you drove him into the ground. They're sissifying the game. Scroll down and read some of these things that Larry Johnson said. Folks, the gospel's in the middle of what we're talking about now. I'm sorry if you can't get it. Scroll down, Connor. Scroll down. What's he say? What does Larry Johnson say? Let's read his tweets. Keep on going down. There is an effeminate agenda going on amongst the NBA and the NFL elite, Larry Johnson said, and it's peddled by high-ranking Masons and their handlers to indoctrinate the heterosexual sports world without them even knowing it, for the buying power of the LGBTQ community. But we are not ready to have that conversation yet. Scroll on down. Johnson then explained what he meant. He says, the Vogue fashion show you now get from the team, bus, car to the locker room, most of the outfits you think for 16-year-old boys, not 6'6", 300-pound men. He's talking about the clothes they're wearing. The softening of play. Everything's a three. Everybody in the NBA is a three-point shooter. Nobody goes inside and elbows boxes out. They all shoot outside. Noticeable weight loss to fit the feminine archetype. Then he says this in the NFL. NFL, Michael Sam's was the gauge to see where society was. Remember Michael Gay? Michael Sam's was the first guy who came out as a homosexual. Said he didn't get drafted because he was a homo. Commercial, two aggressive men having a powder blue pink cupcake business. Feminine behavior over little things like helmets. Same fashion show to locker room using only receivers, quarterbacks, DBs. They're turning the guys who carry the balls into sissies. And then Johnson added, October, going down, Connor, October is LGBTQRS History Month. And the NFL players were pink that month. They want you to think breast cancer, But they show you they don't care much about women. Look at the treatment of domestic violence issue. And he defends himself one more time because of the cupcakes out there, the snowflakes. They can't handle a man standing up and saying what a man really believes. Scroll on down, Connor. Nothing said, I hate gays, Johnson says. My understanding goes far beyond flesh, but an agenda that's ready to go after the homophobic sports fans who had an uproar when two men kissed. I could care less about the flesh. I'm noticing a playbook used on the masses. Okay. Later, Adam, one more down, Larry, Connor. I love to see the LGBTQ community band together and come to a common cause when it comes to me, he said. Now do that with the defects of your own community, pedophilia, pedophilic priests, politicians. Show them that same energy. Oh, no, 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 no. No, you're not going to do that. A kingdom divided against itself will not stand. God bless Larry Johnson. God bless Larry Johnson.
Amen to what Larry Johnson said. And Larry Richardson says that church in Overvine or whatever the heck it is, Ohio,
Overland.
anybody that thinks that is anything other than a satanic social club is totally spiritually blind.
Well, I don't think anybody, well, I'm with you. Anybody else? It's crazy what's going on right under our watch. Oh, Lord. I'm catching my breath. You can say something if you want to. I don't care if you do. I'm catching my breath. Doug Hagman. Is anybody going to do anything, Coach? Is anybody going to do anything? That's what Doug Hagman said. I'm 66 years old. What am I waiting up for to do something? What am I waiting on? They couldn't hate me anymore. Do you have any idea how many people hate me? I couldn't care less. It's not a popularity contest. Broad is the way, narrow is the gate. Wide and few. Why do we want the applause of men, the attention of men? Why do we want the world to love us? We're at war, but we don't think we are. Nobody has a comment, just me? That's okay.
Yeah, it's time. Coach, it's time for these preachers. There are some preachers out there that's good, that's in every denomination. It's time for them to step out from under that junk and start their own work.
You know, Alan, it's time for us. I'm not waiting on them. They're not going to do what they can't do. They're sissies. They're cowards, whatever it is.
They're worried about their wallet, Coach. It's the god of mammon. The little g god of mammon's got them bound.
It is, but it's about the god of gonads. They ain't got no gonads. They ain't got no gonads.
Amen, brother. Amen.
Yeah, let me jump in here and add to that, too. Since I've been out into the arena with you guys all this year, off and on, it's changed my perspective. And I think everybody knows that I love being in the arena. But all of these people that I used to listen to, and I'm fortunate enough to be able to listen to some things at work, and I'm going to name a couple names. John B. Wells, Michael Savage, all of these people that sound so aggressive and so authoritative. Now I look at them completely different. All you're doing is hiding behind a microphone in your basement, literally doing nothing, while the rest of us are literally out in the arena doing it. It's just hard for me to listen. I attempted to listen to Michael Savage 2 days ago. I turned him off after 5 minutes. I'm like, you're doing nothing.
They're doing nothing. They're doing nothing, right? They're doing nothing.
What's the difference in Michael Savage? What's the difference in Michael Savage behind a microphone and a bunch of people behind a stack of books at a show?
2,800 of them. 2,800 of them.
Behind books. I mean, what are we getting out of these books? What are we doing?
Amen,
I remember watching a complete lesson on archways. So I go all the way to Ohio and go to a conference, and I see a guy spend an hour talking about archways. Archways, 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 archways. Now what? What do we do about the archways? Okay, they're consecrated to Baal. Okay, now what? What do we do? They've had them all through history. Okay, now what do we do? What are you telling us? What do we do?
Well,
but you're right. You're right, Bob. So mean,
the point I'm making, and please don't think this is self-aggrandizement, although I really don't care what you think, okay? I really don't care. Can somebody out there explain to me why I wasn't in front of 2,800 people in Branson, Missouri? Can somebody explain to me? When I'm the guy that's trying to put together a team, why wasn't I invited to speak? Because I couldn't talk about the UFOs coming? Well, if the UFOs are coming, we better get organized. I couldn't talk about the Nephilim and the Giants raising to come back. Well, if that's going to happen, somebody ought to get us organized. Pick whatever it is. Wormwood, talk about that planets coming back, whatever. If all that stuff's happening, what are we going to do about it? What are we going to do about it? Does anybody know anybody that's trying to do anything about it? I know somebody. I know several, but I know one. I know the coaches. Why wouldn't I be in front of 2,800 people in Branson? Can somebody give me an answer on that? I'm waiting. There's nobody with a plan. Nobody with a plan. Nowhere. We all gripe and moan about our pastors. And your pastors aren't telling you this. Your pastors aren't telling you. Well, yeah, I know. No. Hey, I'm ready to do it. 2,800 people gathered there.
Because doing something requires commitment beyond pushing a like button.
It does, brother. It does. It does. It takes you out of the information realm. Okay, I'm going to go somewhere with me. Okay, I promised you I would.
I thought that about Doug Hagman, too, till I saw him get out on the street.
I love Doug He's Hagman. I want you to know something. I was eyeball to eyeball with him yesterday. He and I, off the table, looking deep in each other's eyes. And I told him, Doug, I said, Doug, listen, I have got your back no matter what happens. You know what Doug said? Which I got your back no matter what happens. And you know what I know? I know he means it. He knows the, I mean it. And I'll tell you, friends, there's some people, I said, I shouldn't be talking out of, it doesn't matter, Doug wasn't on this. I said, Doug, how many men do you know that you can really trust?
He's a doer.
He just kind of looked at me and said, not as many as I'd like to. Not as many. I said, I can tell you this, too, Doug. Everybody has a jumping off point. Everybody has a point where they say, whoops, I ain't going quite that far. I said, I want you to know this, Doug. I don't jump off. There's no point that I'm going to reach that I'm going to jump off. I want you to know that. But I want you, all of you, to ask yourselves right now, all of you in this queue, what's your jumping off point? When do you get off the bandwagon? And you want to say, Coach, I'm with you, Coach. I say, I know, I see you. I see you with me. How long are you with me? At what point do you hit the eject button? When do you do that? Because that's really the problem that we have. Everybody's on it when everything's happy and everything's, we're handing out equal justice tour cards and honking the horns and everybody's waving. How many are you going to be there when the crap hits the fan? How many? And I said to Doug, I said, I don't know, man. I said, hey, Doug, here's truth. Doug, I see him falling off every day. They fall off the turnip truck every day because I said something they didn't like. I hurt their feelings. Why? Because they don't know what it means to be a man. They can't take criticism. They get offended. They act like women.
Amen, Coach.
I'm telling you, I'm all over the target. I'm all over the target. I didn't tell you guys this. Thank you, Lord, for bringing that to my memory. Thank you. I told a story offline yesterday, and I want to share it with you today. Number one, I'm going to really make some enemies right here, but I got to say it. I hate soccer. I hate it. I hate soccer. Can I tell you why I hate soccer? Because soccer wasn't – this will be right wing watch. Kyle, here's a good one. Get ready, Kyle. Soccer was used to infiltrate America to change away from the manhood of football. I'm telling you this. Listen, America was the only country where every sport we played was with our hands. And they bring in soccer. You ain't even allowed to use them. Not even allowed to use your hands. And I saw sport. I'm just sorry. I saw sports get more and more feminine with the introduction of soccer. You can laugh all you want to. You can put it on right wing and watch you want to. I've witnessed it happen all across America. So I go to my grandson's soccer game, 4 years old, four and a half. How old is he, Michelle? Four and a half years old, I think. And he's a little whirling dervish out there, just a little guy just playing his heart out. And I noticed something 4 years old, 5 year old kids. You can imagine what's out on the field, right? And so I look out there, and those little kids would run into each other, and they'd fall down. Two little kids would hit, and they'd trip, and they'd be laying down on the ground. And everybody stops because they're laying down on the ground. And at the first, and when the first quarter was over, you know me, I walked over to where the team was gathered. There's only like 8 people on the team, so it's not like I walked into the sanctity of the huddle. I walked into where the team was, and I went up and I grabbed my little grandson. I got down on my knees, and I looked him right in the eyes. I said, David, you listen to me, David. When that ball, I'm sorry, when your friends get knocked down, what are you supposed to do? And he looked at me. I said, David, when those kids are laying down on that field, you keep kicking the ball. You don't stop because they fell down. You keep kicking the ball. You should have seen what happened the rest of that game. Because they're falling down every time somebody touches somebody, they fall down, everybody stops. Not David. He didn't stop. He kept kicking the ball. Next thing you know, he's on a breakaway scoring a goal. What's the point? What is the point? Hey, man, keep kicking the freaking ball. Keep kicking it. I hate soccer.
Amen, coach.
Keep kicking it. And sometimes kicking the ball is tough because people are laying in your way, sucking on their thumbs. We're at war, and we won't act like we're at war. I got so much stuff I want to get to, but I'm not going to have time to do it. I'm not going to dig into it. Help me. Come on in here. Help me. Hey, I hope I run some of you off. I hope I do.
Listen, I'll add to that one last statement here. Listen, I grew up in Menifee County, Eastern Kentucky. We had soccer. I grew up playing soccer, running track, and doing martial arts. But we were hardcore at the time. That was before the feminized soccer. I'm riding around. We all ride around and see little kids playing soccer everywhere. And then we occasionally look over and see the real men on the football field. Yeah. I'm at the point in my life to where I hate the memory of growing up playing soccer. I wish that we had had a football team. I would have been out there banging the heads. And I'll end it like this. I've had about 6 concussions in my life. One of them was playing soccer. Hardcore soccer coach. I couldn't see. I walk off the field. I'm center half. I walk off the field. And I'm like, coach, I can't see. And he didn't think I was serious. Like, get back out there. Get back out there. And ultimately, he realized there's a problem. That's how hardcore we were at the time. I graduated high school in 89 when we were still producing men. The point is, you're right, coach. I'm embarrassed that I wish I would have played football. I think it would have made me a better man.
Amen. Amen, Bobby. You got to play. You know, you got to play what you have. What you have opportunity to play if they don't have the sport. But listen, I want you to hear me, folks. My wife and I, we raised 3 children. We raised our oldest child, a boy, and then we raised 2 girls. And both of our daughters were college softball players. Abby went to Hillsdale College. Maggie went to Marietta College. And they both were successful softball players in college, right? But I'm going to tell you something. I don't want my son playing against girls. I'm sorry. When they go to do youth soccer, I want my grandson, if it were up to me, I want my grandson playing against other boys. I want him playing against other boys. Because folks, I'm a sexist. Playing against girls is not what men ought to be doing. We used to teach men not to hurt the girls, to be nice to girls, to show some chivalry. Now they play soccer with them. And I don't care who you are. If you are a boy and you have any sense of testosterone at all, you do not want to be beaten by a girl. Why would we ever put our sons in positions where they would be beaten by a girl? Oh, I hear you. See, I hear it all the time. I'm going to get emails right now. You know, you missed what I just said. My 2 daughters played soccer and softball. They played it with the boys. I get that. It made them tougher. But my daughter Abby will never be as good as my son Zach because she's not as strong. He is a boy. He's a male. He's stronger. He's supposed to fight men, not women. They're going to ban me from wherever. They're going to ban me from everything.
Amen, Coach.
Well, that's about as much truth as a guy can give you, and they call it politically incorrect to say so. Listen, I take no pride in beating my wife in basketball one-on-one. I take no pride in that. How can you take any pride in that? And so what do we see going on in college sports now all over the place? Men are transgendered and competing against women and winning. And winning. Men turn to women and beat women, and nobody complains, right? You know, I'd say to him, what's the matter, dude? Can't beat the boys? Got to go play with the girls? Why won't we say that kind of stuff? See, it's caused all of the programming. Beginning, dare I say, in your local church. Come on in, Rob.
And then what happens is they come into my office at 28. Mommy calls me. Mommy tells me there's a problem. Mommy schedules the appointment. Mommy brings her son in. Mommy talks to him. And you can't imagine how many
times. We're having trouble hearing you, Rod. I heard what you said. I just don't know if the audience did. I heard you.
I heard a dog bark.
Yeah. heard a dog bark. Huh?
Hey, Dave.
Yes, sir.
This comment I'm going to make kind of ties in with yesterday's show and a little bit of what you're saying today. If you're going to truly want to follow the Lord, and you got to stand up and speak truth. It's a two-edged sword, because when you speak the truth, there's going to be blessings, but then there's also going to be some kickback from it. Right. It's like you were saying, you're feeling when you know people alienate you and all this. Well, my daughter lives in a sinful life, has since she was out of high school. She's 35 now. And I've confronted her in a loving way, but I spoke mm-hmm. the truth. I shared the scriptures with her, told her where her life is heading, that she's going to hell for living the way she's living. Well, I spoke the truth. Now, what I get from that is alienation. I don't get to see my grandchildren, and all I can do now is to pray that someday her and the children will find their salvation.
But Rich,
Rich,
you did the right thing.
I know that. I agree with that.
But we're trained. It's like a blackmail. Oh, you won't say the right things to me. Well, then you're not going to see your grandchildren. It's blackmail. Right.
Right. Well, if men are afraid to speak up in their own household, you're not going to be able to get them to speak up to their pastor.
Absolutely.
Or to stand on the street corner with a sign. And now I'm not sucking on my thumb. I'm not trying to pat myself on the back. But you know, here we're coming into October. We're going to trunk or treat. You know, all the churches want to do trunk or treat. Yep. And I'm getting ready to hammer my pastor like I did last year about how he's mixing the gospel with the devil. And you can't be afraid to speak the truth.
Well, we know this, don't we? We know that we're at war. We know that we are. We know the infiltration has taken place. As Larry would say, why would you expect to find any truth in those satanic social club? You may find some. And I was 2,246. Anybody know what that number is? 2,246. Anybody know? Anybody help me out here? Does that number ring a bell to anybody?
That's those babies they found in that abortionist house.
That's the babies they found in that abortionist in South Bend, Indiana, where Mary Buttplug is the mayor of it. The abortionist had in his house 2,246 fetal remains. Hey folks, can I give you an English lesson? What would that be? What would be a better word for fetal remains? What would that be? Does that mean they found a toe? They found a toe. They found a finger. Found a fingernail. What would be a fetal remain? Fetal remains. Thanks, Sue. Sue Knapp said, well, Coach, that would be babies. Yeah. 2,246 babies. Babies. What do you suppose? What's the reaction of the church, you think, in South Bend, Indiana? Better yet, what if that had been 2,246 born babies? What if that had been 2,246, oh, dare I say it, black children? Oh, what if that had been 2,246, uh-oh, Coach, are you going to say it? Yeah, I am. Homosexuals. What if it had been 2,246 Jews? Any outcry from the church? Anybody heard an outcry from the church? Hmm? Because we all know this, right? This is the exception. This is the exception. If all that was 2,246 people killed with guns, we know what would be going on in Washington, D.C., right? Ban guns! Ban guns! Well, we got 2,246 little fetal remains. We're not hearing ban abortion, are we? Where is the church? Where is the? We've lost our voice. We've lost our manhood. What was that? Coarse, rough, right? They're killing babies. They're murdering babies. And no reaction. Like we can't do anything about it. Yeah, we could do something about it. We could. But then if we really did something about it, then they would accuse us of not being very Christ-like. See the trap we're in? See the trap we're in? They're murdering babies. They're murdering babies. Some doctor's got 2,246 of them in his stinking house. Didn't Gosnell do the same thing? Yeah, sort of. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
That's what I had yesterday. I had a black man. We had several. They said, what do you guys did to us, our past generation history, killing a black man? I said, well, you're sitting here committing genocide against your own culture and won't stand up for your woman there. But you want to escort her in and kill your child.
But see, the problem, Joseph, I'm with you, though. The problem with it is we let it happen. See, we don't really believe they're murdering a baby in there. What do we think we're doing? What do we think they're doing inside that womb? What do we think they're doing? La 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 la.
Coach, you know what's really sick? Hussein Obama, all these policies we're seeing, transgender, the abortion, radical stuff, all we're seeing, Hussein Obama pushed this junk back in the early 2000s, and every preacher across the nation let that devil come in behind their pulpit and give a speech. Think about that for just a little minute.
That's right. 38% of babies aborted in America are black. 38% of them. 38% of them. And black President Obama was walking into black churches when he was one of the driving forces behind Planned Parenthood and the murder. Here's one. Listen, I didn't get, don't miss tomorrow because I'm going to clean up all this stuff I didn't get to do today. Guys, men have got to arise. Men have got to arise. Men have got to wake up and stand up and arise. And I'm going to tell you, it's going to cost us something. It's going to cost us something. But if we're not willing to do this now, this is going to be a banana republic for little David who kicks the ball when everybody's laying on the ground.
Coach, the question is what to do. The answer is lean not into your own understanding. Quit making your own plans. Let the Holy Spirit of God guide you, and it won't be an easy walk. But let him do it.
Easier said than done, Larry. Some of them don't even have the Holy Spirit. God bless you, folks. We'll see you tomorrow.